Welcome to Hype, episode 52. Hype is hypeable.com's entertainment podcast about all the latest news. And we need a better intro than that, guys. We're working on it, I promise. My name is Selena. I'm here today with Kyle, Pam, and Merima. Say hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Classic joke.
I know, right? So the biggest news story of this week, of course, is that it was Merima's birthday. Happy birthday, Merima. Woo! I totally had that cue up.
I got the celebration sound effect.
Yay!
It's all you've ever wanted. Oh, wait.
Hey,
oh,
wait. Now. I like it. Did you have a good birthday, Merima?
Yeah, I had a really nice birthday. I waited in anticipation for a certain trailer to come out because I live in a different time zone.
Yes.
So I was like, anytime, it could happen anytime now. And it didn't actually happen on my actual birthday, unfortunately. But it was
they
my birthday somewhere, so that counts.
Yeah, like you, there was obviously the gift from the Mockingjay creators to you because they know you've been such a good fan.
I think so. I've been pretty enthusiastic, so yeah. I feel like I've earned it.
But that's awesome. We'll be definitely be talking about the Mockingjay trailer this week, as it is our biggest story, second biggest story, of course, aside from Merima's birthday.
Thank you.
But before we head into the show properly, we just want to remind you about the contact info. As always, you can find us on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. And you can find us on Twitter at Hypeable Hype. We're also on Instagram now, and we've actually got some cool pictures up this week. Well done, girls.
Yay!
That is on Instagram.com at Hypeable or / Hypeable Hype. And you guys should go check that out. Also, again, if you do have the time and you want to help us reach more people, you can go to iTunes and leave us a review and rate us. That'll just help boost us a little bit in the rankings and help people discover us and stuff like that. We'd really appreciate it. So head on over to iTunes if you have a spare moment. All right, so our first segment of the day is How We Hype, where we talk about the fun fandom-related stuff we've been doing for the past week or what we'll be doing in the coming week. I'm going to start with Kyle this week because you weren't on last week.
I know. I
also because I like your story this week. Oh, we missed you too.
So I saw Mad Max today, actually about a couple hours ago. I'm always behind on everything. I'm like seeing everything like 2 weeks later than like all of you guys. I was very hesitant going into this movie because I was like, it just is not a movie that from the trailers I would like at all because I don't like action films. I liked it. It was good. The beginning, I almost walked out at the beginning of the movie because I was like, this is barbaric and stupid and ugly and disgusting, and I want to walk out. But then I stuck through it, and then I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
So worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Have you guys seen it yet? Or
I still haven't seen it.
I want guys, to so bad. Merima, why don't you live closer? Because then we could go see it together, and that'd be the end of that.
Seriously, I feel like the universe is trying to stop me from seeing this movie because I keep making plans to go and see it. I've made plans to go and see it at least 4 times now. And then every time something happens, so I can't go and see it. I'll watch it on the plane or something. Okay. Will it be on there by then? Maybe. Probably not. It'll still be in cinemas. Then when I get there, we'll go and find an old cinema that's still playing it and we'll
perfect.
Watch it in July.
We'll go to a $2 cinema. They have those here.
Oh, I love that. It's a date.
Yes. Perfect.
We'll review it then.
Sounds good. We'll 60. Be waiting excitedly. But see, you're not that late, Kyle. You're good. I'm glad someone
And you know what the miracle is? It hasn't been spoiled for me. But like every time it comes up, like, you know, around the water cooler, if you will, I just go, oh, I haven't seen it yet. And everyone just goes, oh, it's so good. You're going to love it. And then they don't say
anything
else. Honestly,
there's nothing really to spoil.
There is.
Well, that's good.
Like, there's not anything to spoil.
No.
That's good. That's good. But it's just so weird because I still know just as much about it as I did when I saw the first trailer. And that's
good.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And Merima, you finally saw Inside Out.
What do you mean, finally? It's not
what
even
do you mean, finally?
Because well, like, you said last week you had it on your list, and I thought you'd seen it, and I got really excited. It's a callback, guys. Go with it.
Oh, I see, I see. I was like, excuse me. I have definitely seen it before everyone else. I don't know what this finally business is. Yeah, I saw Inside Out on last week, and I really, really liked it. It was not what I was expecting at all. And I didn't watch any of the clips. There are a lot of clips online now that I have since seen, but I didn't watch any of those before I went to the film. And I think that's a good thing. Like, if you can avoid them, just watch the trailer. But it's a really different film from kind of what you think it is from the trailer. And it was really fun. And they played the lava shot before it, which is a new Pixar shot, which was adorable. That was super cute. But I have some problems with the like beauty standards that the female volcano has to conform to, which sounds like a joke.
I'm sure it's serious.
But like when you actually watch it, like I mean, I don't really have an issue, but when you actually watch it, you will be like, oh, that's weird. Like, okay.
Is she just too hot?
She's like the male volcano, just like looks like a volcano with a mouth, like with a crack for a mouth, and he's adorable and it's so cute, and he like sings this little like Hawaiian song, and then the female volcano is just like a girl. She's got like a face with like lips and everything, and you're like, but what?
Oh, wow.
Anyway, yeah, Inside Out, it was really cute, and you know, it's basically Amy Poehler's film, so I'm all about that. And was I definitely recommend.
I mean, I don't want you to give too much away, but was, you know, the issues that you had with it before you watched it, about the stereotypes, were they like disputed or?
Oh, interesting. So they were not, I guess I had assumed they were going to do something like particular with the way they went about that. They didn't, but when you see it in the context of the film, it actually makes sense. The, you know, stereotypes that you, they're definitely stereotypes that you see in the trailer with like the mom's emotions are like The View and the dad's emotions are like ESPN. And you're like, what's happening now? But yeah, when you see the rest of the film, it makes a lot more sense. And definitely stay in the, it's not a credits scene, but like during the credits, they have these little scenes that are playing while the credits are rolling at the start, and definitely stay for them because this doesn't sound like a good review, but they were some of the funniest moments. And you kind of get to see inside the heads of some other people.
Oh,
and when
cool.
you get that, then the mom and dad's emotions make more sense,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, it kind of wasn't really about that in the end. And it wasn't even really about the girl Riley in the end. It's more about, oh, I don't want to spoil it. It's more about, I guess, like having a balance of emotions in your life kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
Like, you know, and yeah, it's really cute. And as with, you know, all Pixar films, there are a lot of jokes in it that kids will definitely not understand. And I was crying with laughter at. So I think there's a good balance. I also laughed at the kids' jokes because they were also very fun.
Awesome. Well, that sounds really good. I still have months away until I can watch it, but I'm still super excited. I'm really glad you liked it. The movie I've seen, it's kind of, I thought it was really old because it came out last year here, but actually it didn't come out until March 27th in the US, so it's pretty new. It's The Riot Club, directed by Danish director Lone Scherfig, starring all of our favorite boys, Max Irons and Sam Claflin and Harry Lloyd and that other guy. Yes, exactly. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I was really pleasantly surprised by this movie. I'm not sure what exactly I was expecting, but I definitely, it had some kind of purpose to it. Like, it wasn't just one of those young, let's have a party movies. It goes kind of dark, and it goes kind of, it doesn't try to sugarcoat things. Okay, basically, I should explain what it is. It's it's about these rich, spoiled boys who go to Oxford and have this little club they call the Riot Club that makes them feel all entitled. I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's my favorite movie that I've ever seen, but I thought it was good. I thought it had a good point, and it was a Danish director, so I felt like I should bring it up. So there you go.
I have been wanting to see that for such a long time, so I will definitely bump it up my list now that I know you liked it.
Mm, I did like it, and again, it's not, I mean, it's not what I expected. I don't know, like, but no, I think you should watch it. I think it's a good watch. It's more dark than I had anticipated it would be. And Pam, you've actually done stuff other than go to the movies.
I know, but I feel like mine's totally not as interesting as you guys' stuff. So this week I interviewed actor Robbie Amell.
Yeah, you're right. That's not interesting. We don't want to hear about it. Never mind.
It's not exciting, really. Anyway, so I talked to Robbie Amell, who is currently playing Ronnie on The Flash. So that's exciting. And I believe he's also going to be in Legends of Tomorrow. So he's got a couple of interesting projects coming up. But unfortunately, we did not get to talk to him about that. Instead, we talked to him about the film adaptation of The Duff, which came out on DVD this week. It also stars Mae Whitman, who, of course, is a fan favorite, especially for our site. And yeah, so we just had a really nice chat about the movie and about his character, Wes, and about some of the stuff he's excited for fans to check out on the DVD, and also a little bit about his favorite scenes to shoot when he was making the film about a year ago. And if you guys haven't seen the film, it's a lot better than I think the trailer gives it credit for. It's definitely one of those like high school like rom-com type movies, but it actually does have a lot of heart in the end. And yeah, I highly recommend it if you're looking for something really cute to watch. And like Mae Whitman is just hilarious, and they play off of each other really well, which is fun to see. So yeah, and we may be giving something away when the interview goes up on Hypeable, so maybe keep your eye on the site and you could win something cool.
Oh, fun, free stuff.
Yes, who doesn't love free stuff?
Yes. Awesome. So that's everything we've been up to in the past week. If any of you listeners have done anything fun or have any interesting fandom related plans, then please tweet us or share them with us at Hypeable, and we might talk about them next week, because it's also fun to hear what you guys have been doing. So moving on to the news, our top story, surprise, it's Merrima.
Mockingjay trailer, Mockingjay trailer. We got the Mockingjay trailer. We got some stills also, but who cares, because we got the Mockingjay trailer. Of course, in true hype tradition, as soon as we recorded our last episode, there was that still release that had the 9th of June code date or whatever on it, and we were like, oh damn, we just talked about how we have been waiting for a trailer. But it's okay, because we got a trailer, and it's a really, really long look, actually, for a first trailer at Mockingjay Part 2. We got a look at, obviously, Katniss. We saw President Snow. We saw Finnick. Guys, so much Finnick in this trailer.
So sweet.
Yeah. So sad, though, because, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it opened with Finnick, and I thought that was a smooth move of them, because, you know, usually you'll open with, like, Katniss or whatever, but this time it was all on Finnick. I like that.
Yeah, it opened with the wedding.
Mm. It's smart that way, I think, in the grand scheme, but also my heart. It hurts.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
how I'm going to handle this, but...
I'm not. You'll have to pick me up from the theater floor, you guys. I'm not even joking. Anyway, go on with the trailer.
I think your reaction is pretty on point. there's a lot to see in this, but I guess I was wondering if there were any moments that particularly stood out to you guys. Oh, we got to see Gwendolyn Christie as well.
Yes.
Nice look at her. We saw my girl Natalie Dormer, obviously. She didn't get to say anything, though, so I was like, it's not even worth it. No, I'm kidding. I've watched it like 150 times. Anyway.
See, I've only seen this trailer once, just because I was excited for it. But I've only read Mockingjay once, so I feel like a lot of stuff is probably going to feel new to me when I watch in the cinema. So I don't want to oversaturate myself with promo material, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm the same way, actually. Yeah, I've only read Mockingjay once, and so like, a lot of this stuff I'm forgetting. Like, there's only a handful of key moments from that book that I remember. And so, like, I'm so curious, because I'm sure there's going to be, like, a ton that's going to happen in the movie. And I'm going to be like, what? I don't remember that.
In the cinema, what? I like, yeah. I like, though, the moment when Finnick... Again, I really love the presence of Finnick in this trailer, and how he's saying, you know, welcome to the Hunger Games. I thought that was cool because obviously it ties it all back, and it was a nice little promo moment for them.
Yeah,
I thought it
that's
was
a
nice.
Great line too.
Yeah,
from the book. That's from the book. It's all from the book. Oh, it's so exciting. Yeah, I think it's definitely a conscious effort on their part to kind of put Finnick a little more at the forefront of this film because he's a babe, and also, you know, for more emotional impact going for, I can't even say the words. Anyway,
I think
it was interesting to me that we didn't get to see really that much of Gail or Peter in this.
Yeah, that's a really
wondering,
good point.
To be honest with you, I thought the same thing, but then I was wondering if they're trying to save Peter because they want people that maybe have not read the books that are only watching the movies to kind of wonder what his state is in part two, because the ending of part one was so intense, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of Peeta's mm-hmm. character, which like, and so fans that have read the book, like obviously know like where his story arc goes, but other people might be wondering like, oh, did they have to put him down? Like what's going on? Is he just quarantined forever? Like, is he just gone for good? So it might be a smart move if they're trying to kind of pique everyone's interest.
Yeah, I liked it.
You know what I also really, really loved about this this trailer? I mean, more than anything else, every movie... I know that Jennifer Lawrence is gorgeous and everything, but every movie they are toning her look more and more down. And I really like that. I mean, I don't know mm-hmm. whose decision it is to make her so, like, makeup-less and tired-looking and fierce in that sort of... Like, her eyes are so... dead set, kind of, if that makes sense. Like, just you know, you can see that Katniss-like desperation and anger in her eyes and on her face and in the way she stands. And when she was standing in front of the mirror, when she had that suit on, and it just sort of very it emphasized her muscles, kind of, in a way that I hadn't been expecting. So it was just all of those things are just really nice, sort of pleasant surprises when you're watching a big Hollywood movie to see them let themselves do that to their lead actress and be like, yeah. Yes, this is Katniss. This is not a pretty lady in a costume, you know?
Actually, that scene where she's looking in the mirror and Effie's with her and she's looking in the suit, that looks like a scene from basically every single Batman film ever made. Batman's like looking at himself in the mirror and Alfred's like at his shoulder being like Master Wayne. So, and Katniss and Effie.
So would that make her Catman?
Oh, very good.
That's why I'm here, guys.
That should be the title of this episode. Just Catman.
There you go. We might as well stop recording now.
Exactly.
In terms of the like oversaturation, though, what you were saying, I don't think you can oversaturate yourself by watching the same footage. Like,
oh, no.
You know. So definitely... there is a lot to pick up on in this trailer. I would recommend you guys give another couple watches and
okay.
people like give a bit of, but that's what I really like about the Mockingjay campaigns, the promotional campaigns. It's usually pretty measured. They don't give that much away. And it's just exciting because they seem to have, with this trailer, they're kicking off what is going to be another amazing promotional campaign. I love the promotional team for these films so much. As we included in the article on Hyperball, Andrew was sent the, you know, they send out kits to media for various things. And for Mockingjay, they sent out a piece of the, like, statue of President Snow in the box, which is the greatest thing I've ever seen in terms of, like, the promotional things. And I basically awesome. Just died when I saw a photo of that. So, yeah, I think... the focus is obviously on like Snow and Katniss, that like head to head, which is interesting considering the events in the end of Mockingjay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm super excited, guys. I'm going to talk about this every day until the film comes out.
Awesome.
Get ready.
But, you know, and I've sort of been like, oh, no, you know, how am I going to break this to you? But we do have to move on to the next story. But don't worry, because it's Fantastic Beasts. So
yes,
you're still happy. Still celebration time. A few interesting things this week from J.K. Rowling's Twitter account, which has basically become our top source of news, which is kind of... it says a lot about Hyperbole and Hyperbole's audience, I think, that we basically just need to write about J.K. Rowling's Twitter, and we get like 15,000 Facebook shares. It's amazing. We're not complaining. It's fantastic. So the first story from J.K. Rowling this week is that she has confirmed the existence of a U.S. wizarding school. This is relevant to Fantastic Beasts because it's we're going to meet characters in Fantastic Beasts. That's a gardening that's a follow-up.
Beets and fortified other vegetables. Oh, is that what you're gonna get?
Yes,
that's what I dream like music.
That would have been better. Why is there the not soundtrack. A wizarding? Is that our wizarding rock name if we ever make a group?
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, yeah. Copyrighted.
Too bad we didn't. We already found the title for this show.
If
damn
you
it.
Steal it, yeah. We'll know where you got it, and we're coming for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so on that, she's clarified a few things, actually. First of all, she said that the Salem Witches Institute, which was mentioned in Goblet of Fire, is not actually a school. It's the joke on the Women's Institute in the UK, which I don't really get because, like,
I don't get that either,
there were no. people in Goblet of Fire that were from there, but I don't know. not important. And then she said that the information about the actual American Wizarding School will be revealed in due course. Newt is going to meet people who were educated at the school. And she also, this is kind of a bit confusing, but there was a fan who asked if the name of the school will have any relevance to the Native American Indian culture. And she said it doesn't. It's of immigrant origin. But she does say that indigenous magic was important in the founding of the school, if I say which tribe's location is revealed. So that's pretty cool.
I'm so stoked about this. Probably like Arizona or New Mexico.
Or Nevada.
Or like Nevada, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be
think
great.
So? You don't think she went for, like with like an East Coast tribe or something like that?
No, I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to
so
be
hard,
like a
like,
West.
If you... we could get into this like
I know, right?
A lot, you guys. But I'm already thinking, like, what did I learn in U.S. history? Like, this is just—it's just so cool that she's able to just come up with stuff like this because it's something like I never would have thought. Like, oh, if there were wizards in the U.S., like they must have taken like some like indigenous like voodoo witchcraft magic into account, you know? But that just—it's like mm-hmm. a whole new level of awesome that we'll be able to discover like- once the movie comes out.
That's my favorite part about the whole thing is because, like, history in Europe goes so far back. And, like, obviously so does history in America. But, like, people never think about the history of America prior to, like, when Christopher Columbus came over. And so, like, it's going to be great seeing the same roots from the same dates, hopefully, possibly. But just the concept of that whole yeah. being as far back as the UK, just Native American-wise. And that's yeah. going to be great.
Well, it's also really cool that she says that it kind of ties into, like, maybe, like, it has, like, an immigration factor to it because, like, as Kyle was kind of hinting at it, like, the England and Europe is the old world and America is the new world and, like, immigration and manifest destiny and all that good stuff is, like, so ingrained into the culture out here. And it's really cool to hear that she's kind of taken that into account when creating, you know, a school for... you know, magical people that may reside in North America and stuff like
it
that.
It totally
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Great. And I'm just like, oh, God, Joe, you're so smart. Like,
gosh, Joe.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then she said we were all at Hogwarts and I died.
And
yes,
I cried.
She did. She had a really wonderful tweet to someone who asked if she was a squib or something. And she was like, you know what, actually, guys, we were all at Hogwarts. We all went there together. Just because it happened inside your head doesn't mean it wasn't real.
And I'm just over here like, oh, stop, Joe. I can't.
It's so nice, though, isn't it? Because she yeah. sort of, she acknowledges the power of fandom, like, in a single tweet. She's basically saying everything that you guys felt about reading the books and growing up with the books and wanting to go to Hogwarts. And as I wrote in the article, like, we did. We all had our favorite professors. We all had our favorite classes. We all knew what Hogwarts house we were in. We all imagined what position we'd be playing on the Quidditch team. Like, you know, we had all that information as though we were there, even though it was all sort of part of our big collective imagination. And then she just goes and says, yep, that makes it real. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's like that quote, and then like also when the final Deathly Hallows movie came out, and then she said, "Hogwarts will always be there to welcome you home."
Yes.
It's like the best thing that she has ever said.
Oh, yeah. For this. It's going to be a motivational, like, fandom for the, posters for
exactly.
All
it's going to be the new, it's real for us. It's going to be, we yeah, all went to Hogwarts.
Okay, so J.K. Rowling not just helping out Harry Potter fans, also doing her bit for the unemployment rate because Steve Clovis, he hasn't been doing a lot, but it's all good news for the world's biggest Harry Hermione shipper because he has been helping out J.K. Rowling on the Fantastic Beasts screenplay. He, of course, wrote every Harry Potter film except for Order of the Phoenix.
Best one.
And I think we had maybe talked about this on Hype before that, you know, he may have given her some tips or something, but it has come out in an interview with the WWE head, Greg Silverman, who said that he has been an amazing collaborator. So they're working together. I can't wait for the weird, like, dancing scenes and for Hermione to have all of Ron's lines. Oh, no, wait, those are the films that we already had. My bad.
Yeah. You and I have just expressed very publicly our dislike of the way Harry Potter was translated from book to screen, and obviously Steve Clovis is the thread that binds this all together. But I mean, this is not Harry Potter. This is not a story that we have a vested interest in seeing adapted a certain way already. So I don't think it's going to be exactly the same. You know, as you say, she's not going to be able to give Hermione Ron's lines because nobody has any lines to begin with. So we.
Yeah. I'm mainly kidding. But
yeah,
I just can't help but have a dig at Steve Clovis.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Like they have a long friendship, and you know she hasn't written a screenplay before,
yeah.
So it would make sense that she would get help from her friend who is a writer. But yeah, unfortunately. No further insight into what the screenplay actually entails and what it includes. Yeah. Although she did tweet that she thought Eddie Redmayne would be a perfect Newt Scamander, and that just proves that J.K. Rowling and I are so similar because I thought the exact same thing.
Clearly, that proves it.
Yeah. So we should be BFFs now.
Yes.
And I will be letting her know.
So we've got another live action adaption thing coming from Disney, but this one actually kind of intrigues me because I feel like there might be a little wiggle room for some originality to go into this.
Yes.
So pretty much the story is that Disney is developing a live action movie based on a Fantasia sequence. Yes, that Fantasia. So pretty much they're making a movie based on an 11-minute segment from the 1940s version of Fantasia, which of course consisted of 8 animated sequences set to classical pieces. And so the one that they're going to be working on is called Night on Bald Mountain, which is actually one of the darker sequences in the whole movie. And it's kind of like this Dracula-looking demonic creature that kind of lives up on the mountain. And he raises spirits of the dead who then, you know, spend the rest of the sequence dancing around on Earth until day breaks, and then they go back to the underworld. We have some writers that have been announced that'll also be executive producing the project, and they're Dracula Untold writers Matt Sasma and Burke Sharpless. So this is definitely intriguing to me, more so than some of the other live action adaptions that they've announced in the past, just because we already kind of know where the stories are going to go. But because this segment is so short and the story is so simple, I feel like there's a lot more room to kind of surprise the audience with whatever they decide to do with this. So what do you guys think about this?
So interesting, because the demon's name is Chernabog, and he was in Once Upon a Time this past season. He made not even a cameo, he was in it. He was one of the monsters that they had to fight this past season on Once Upon a Time. And so it's just so interesting that Disney is like, all right, we'll bring him on to Once Upon a Time, and now we'll do, let's actually like make a whole movie about him and his story. And that's, I'm really excited. And I kid you not, guys, I wrote an article a month and a half ago, about 8 remakes that will probably happen. And before I knocked Fantasia off the list for another movie, Fantasia was on the list of remakes that I thought was not going to happen. And I laughed so hard when I saw this headline. But
yeah.
It's going to be great.
At least if they're doing remakes, at least they have to be original with this one.
You know, not what they so aren't for the next one. With, though? Oh, yeah. I don't... Sister Act is getting a reboot from Disney. Because, you know, why not? It was made in the 90s. It's the 21st century now. We have to remake everything. It's so stupid. And Whoopi Goldberg is not set to return for this or have anything to do with this as far as we know right now. And I don't... The plot details, we don't know anything about. We just know that Disney plans on remaking this. Dumb move, I think, because it was just... The first movie was so fantastic. And even the second movie was, like, just as equally good, which I think is rare. I don't know if you guys like the second one more, but I love the second one. And so just the idea that they're going to make another one, like, as a reboot, just ticks me off.
This is terrible news.
Yeah. It's funny, though, basically. Because, like, these are technically supposed to be, kid-friendly movies, right? But the first one's really dark.
It like, is
she
so
goes
dark.
Into hiding because she's like in cahoots with this bad, bad man, so she has to go hide in the convent. With the sisters. Convent. I couldn't say the word, so I had to work around it. Yeah, she has to go hide in the nunnery. The second one's a lot more joyous for sure. But I just don't like I don't know. I feel like it's gonna be too happy, this Disney remake. It's not gonna be as foreboding as
no.
The original story. So
I'm not interested in any. If Whoopi isn't in it, like, what is the point? I'm not interested in it at all. And also, as Kyle said, the first two, and I think the second Sister Act movie was also really good. Not as good as the first one, but still, like, really solid. There's nothing wrong with them. You don't have to remake everything. I've become Selena, but, like, you don't need to redo everything. This is already live action. Like, you're not even doing anything different with it. Like, make the animated Sister Act. I don't know.
I wonder if Disney has, like, I imagine they have a big bullseye, right, in the office with all the movies that they either have the rights to or have made before.
Yeah,
and they just kind of, yes. Because out of all the things, like Sister Act, I don't where did you pull that one from, Disney? Mm-hmm. Like, remake Troop Beverly Hills or something, like, a little more obscure. But Sister Act.
They're never going to beat the success of Maggie Smith, Kathy and Jimmy, and Whoopi Goldberg. Like, all in one movie. They're going to try to remake that. That's not going
to
happen.
Right. No, does it have to be, like, a sassy black nun? Like, because then, like, who, right? Like, it's going to be, like, J-Hud, like, Jennifer Hudson, like.
Probably. That's a good bet. I mean,
Viola Davis. Like,
they're completely like this clearly proves that they have no imagination. So, I mean, that's probably what it is. But so just moving on now to a bit of a roundup, actually. We had, I don't know if it was Josh or Andrew who went to this. Do you know?
Andrew.
Andrew went to this, right? So Andrew had the misfortune of having to go to like Las Vegas. God, poor guy, right? Worst job ever. To attend the licensing expo 2015, which gave us a lot of new looks at various movies coming up. There were a bunch of new posters for different movies, including Independence Day 2 and Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Kyle! Oh my god! I didn't even know it was so close, but it's coming out in 2016.
I cannot wait.
That's another really good movie or book for our hype book club that doesn't exist but should.
Yeah. In our imaginations, it does. And just because it's in your head doesn't mean it's not real.
Oh, wow. So speaking of J.K. Rowling, we actually also had our first official look at the logo for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yay!
Some interesting things to note about this. First of all, the colors, very Gryffindor, with the red background and the yellow logo, like the book itself, the cover of the book itself. And the font, I mean... This is really sad. I could talk about fonts all day. I find them endlessly fascinating. And I'm actually a little bit... I'm not gonna, though. But I'm actually a little bit disappointed with the font for this because the one on the book was nicer. And I was expecting something more original. So that's upsetting. But whatever, it's just a font. And the other interesting thing about it is that it says... It doesn't say from J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter. It says from J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World. J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World, it almost sounds like it's like from the theme park, which kind of is a little bit disturbing. But what did you guys think about this?
I'm excited. I'm super excited. I love that it's being marketed as a separate thing in the same universe. You know, I love that. I love that it's not Harry Potter's fan. Like, you know, like, I love that. Like, they could have gone that route and gotten probably a lot, maybe a lot more people, just because so many more people know the name Harry Potter than they are aware.
I like that they didn't take the Harry Potter route, but I do think, like, the more I look at that wizarding world, like, from J.K. Rowling's wizarding world, I'm not like, why is it not from the magical world of J.K. Rowling? I'm like, oh, you know, they're clearly trying to tie it into the wizarding world.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, and then that makes a lot of sense.
It just annoys me a little bit.
Really? I think it's awesome. I think that it's great that they're tying it into the wizarding world, because you have to kind of realize that it is the same world as Harry Potter.
Oh no, I mean the theme park. Like, I'm seeing cross marketing for the theme park, and that annoys me, first of all, because I can't go, and also because, like, it just seems a little on the nose for me. But you know, it's a tiny thing.
I like
at the end of the movie, they're going to be like, now, if you want to experience this, go to Wizarding World.
Yeah, it'll be the, like, mid-credit scene.
Newt is going to go to Wizarding World.
Yeah.
No, I really like it. I think I was a little worried that they would be, you know, they would do the whole, like, Harry Potter prequel or whatever. Mm-hmm. I like that they're using J.K. Rowling's name. I think it also proves they don't need to put Harry Potter all over this. Yeah. J.K. Rowling is synonymous with Harry Potter now. Like, there isn't a person in the world who doesn't know who wrote Harry Potter. I totally get what you're saying, Selena, about the wizarding world, and that's definitely a conscious choice.
Yeah, it's a little bit awkward.
But it's also, like, you know, it doesn't bother me that, like, it doesn't really bother me that much, because we call it, like, the Wizarding World. That makes sense. You can think about that without thinking about the theme park. And I know a lot of people who are not as invested in fandom as we are. Crazy, I know. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't even know that, like, the Harry Potter theme park is called the Wizarding World, you know, so they wouldn't even pause at that. But I do agree with you on the font. I liked it better on the book.
Right, yeah, I know. It's just, it's something very
I like plain. It, but it's I like, liked it better on the book.
Is it like Garamond or something like that? Like, it's a very common font.
Yeah.
It's not important. But yeah.
It doesn't matter. It just means exciting things are happening. Yes. So I'm still excited.
And the final little bit of news from the expo was we had some looks at the costumes from Batman versus Superman. And most notably, we had our first look at Wonder Woman's costume. We had a first look at a lot of things on Wonder Woman, including the in one notable photo, the fact that she doesn't seem to be wearing underwear. It's yet to be confirmed. Her skirt is so short. I know that, Marima, you've seen the Supergirl pilot as well, and I couldn't help. I look at Wonder Woman and her very, 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 very short skirt, and I couldn't help but think of the scene where Supergirl is trying on outfits, and she's like, you know, I can't wear this tiny skirt. It's so impractical. And I just look at this and sigh.
Well, now, here's the thing. Wonder Woman traditionally wears, like, kind of a leotard type thing.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't wear pants. So I get where they're going from. At the same time, the skirt doesn't need to be this short. Like, there is no reason for the skirt to be this short, except that Gal Gadot is a model and, like, a woman, and, you know, especially because they're trying to make this, like, very dark and gritty and whatever, and it's, like, so impractical. I mean, she's meant to look different from Batman and Superman, and she certainly does look different, and the shield looks great and the sword looks great, and she looks very Wonder Woman-like, which is, you know, important because she's a really iconic character. But yeah, there is no reason for the skirt to be that short, and that's not like a slut-shaming, like, whatever thing. It's impractical for her character. And it also doesn't fit in with the kind of world that they're trying to create, that the male characters seem to be able to adhere their costumes to.
Exactly.
So we'll see. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when they have these kinds of displays, they're, like, a little exaggerated, or it's, you know, slightly different than it actually will fall on, like, a human being. So
yeah,
we can hope. But yeah, if this is the way that it is, like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's leave this planet, because
Perfect. I'll take you to another planet.
Thanks.
You guys, I'm so excited for this next news story. We got a first trailer for the film The Martian, which stars Matt Damon and is adapted from the novel by Anthony Weir.
From Ben Affleck to Matt Damon. You guys.
Yes, it's perfect. You know what? The transitions just make themselves on this show. It's fabulous. Anyway, I'm so excited for this movie. The trailer looked bomb. If you guys don't know anything about this, pretty much what happens is that there's a manned mission to Mars that goes down, and an astronaut named Mark is left behind after a fierce storm hits the planet. He's presumed as dead until he makes contact with his team on Earth, and then they try and figure out how to save him. He's got to figure out how to survive.
Wasn't
on
this
a
like
planet.
The exact same role he played in Interstellar?
Yes and no. That's so funny because I was talking to somebody about this trailer at work, and he was like, "Oh my gosh, I thought this was Interstellar Part 2 because Jessica Chastain is also in this, and she was in Interstellar." But that brings up a good point, which is that the cast for this movie is also just completely stellar. What he did there. You got Kate Mara, of course, Jessica Chastain. Kristen Wiig is in this. Mackenzie Davis, Sean Bean, Sebastian Stan, Donald Glover, Jeff Daniels. Like, the list goes – sorry about that, guys. The list goes on. It just looks so good, and I'm really excited for it. So if you guys are looking for something sci-fi to read because you're having withdrawals from, say, another book that we apparently – can't stop talking about on the show, then you should go read The Martian by Andy Weir and get ready for this movie, which comes out on November 25th of this year.
I'm so excited for this now.
I'm confused. Yeah,
I'm so on board.
Wig is in this. I'm so used to her being in comedies, so this is
well changed. Okay, so the book and the movie, it's actually pretty funny. I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but like he's like a pretty sarcastic character, the guy that Matt Damon is playing, so I think that like
I got that from the line, we're gonna science the shit out of this.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that like while it is technically a drama, you will see a little bit of maybe dry humor going on in this, but you're right, for the most part it is like a really nice like leap for Kristen Wiig, who is so inherently tied with the comedy genre. So yeah,
I love it. I also love this. I had never heard of it before.
Oh,
now.
You should read it. I mean, I'm so excited.
Well, I wanna read the book now, but I hadn't like heard that they were doing the adaptation. And I may have mentioned previously on Hype my like deep devotion to Matt Damon, who I just love so much.
This
and
is something I did not know.
It looks so good. I love him so much, and this just looks amazing. And it looks really funny. And like you said, the cast is excellent, so I'll definitely be keeping an eye on this one now, and I might have to pick up the book as well.
Well, okay, so next up, I don't know how to transition from Matt Damon to Disney, so I wanted to talk about this because it's pretty awesome. This one little girl emailed Disney because she was really upset that the Darth Vader costume was under the boys section on the Disney Store website, and she started she was really sad because she was like, I can't have it because it's only for boys. And so her parents helped her email the company, and specifically we have to mention that it's the British Disney Store, so disneystore.uk. They emailed them, and then the Disney Store not only just like changed the Darth Vader details, but like they completely changed the way they organized their toys, and instead of boys and girls, it's now just kids, and they have all of the toys under just one big kids section, and it's just so sweet. Like, I loved it. I just loved the fact that Disney got this email and they're like, yes, we'll change something. You're absolutely right. And I think it's a huge leap for kids everywhere and not to be labeling boys' toys and girls' toys.
Yeah, it's there's been a lot of developments like this recently, and I've been trying to cover them on Hypable because, as you say, I think it's very, very important. And I think we're seeing some really big steps at the moment that sort of speaks to how corporations might not think that the world is ready to change their gender restrictions, but the parents definitely are, and the little kids, more importantly, are as well. I mean, we've got this story. We also had a story a few days ago about this weekend, actually, in New York City. There was this little girl, 4-year-old girl, who wanted to be Spider-Man, And then she was told at school that she couldn't be Spider-Man because she was a girl. And she was so upset by this, she started pretending to be a boy because she wanted to be Spider-Man. And clearly, because of her gender, she thought she couldn't be. So a group of parents in the neighborhood arranged a gender-free superhero parade through a Manhattan neighborhood, which basically invited all the local kids to come dressed as a super, like superheroes, whether they were male or female superheroes. And the parents, it's the parents that made this happen. And I think that's super important. You know, they, no pun intended, they said, like, we're seeing basically what happens to these little kids. We're seeing how they're being told by the media what they're supposed to be. And we're seeing the kids rebel against this and say, if my friend who's a boy can be a superhero, why can't I be a superhero? And there's just, there's been so many stories about these, and we haven't even covered them all on Hypeable. It's really great. And seeing this, I mean, I'm from Scandinavia, so I sort of have, here we're a lot more ahead of the toy gender game. Sweden has completely outlawed, like, gendering toys, as far as I'm aware. Like, the, in toy catalogs, they have to show both boys and girls playing with all the toys.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's just really nice to see that this is happening elsewhere, because it's clearly only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Like, before this is like it should be.
Yeah, it's great.
It is great. And there's been...
Okay.
Go on.
Are we done?
Yeah.
I was going to interrupt you, but I did anyway. Now you've ruined my transition, and I can't do it anymore.
You're the one who interrupted me.
Yeah, well, I was going to do the thing, and then you kept talking, and then I felt bad, and now we're just
in this
loop.
I have a lot to say about this.
Would you like to say some more things about this?
The world will never know.
I'm going to pretend like that didn't just happen. One toy that no one will be able to play with, it will be a Nick Fury toy in Captain America Civil War.
Wow.
Oh, I'm so proud of myself. Turns out everyone is going to be in Civil War except for Nick Fury, which is weird because the plot of the film is very focused. I mean, it should be focused on S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's obviously the sort of director of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a little up in the air with, you know, what's happening on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the moment, yes. But it turns out he was told by the Russo brothers that he was going to be in it, but now he's not. And the other notable exception from the cast list that we've had so far is Maria Hill.
No! Who's also,
she's not going to be
I love her!
No. Which is weird because it seems like then we're not going to see any of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's weird because who's the enemy going to be? Like, you know, the whole government problem. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's weird. Yeah, it's weird because the Civil War plotline is about, you know, the regulation and registration of superheroes. And to do that, you need some kind of government bureaucracy.
Right.
So, as you say, like, who is that going to be? Unless, I suppose, they carry over some characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But that would be weird to me because they already have these established characters in the cinematic universe.
And we haven't heard anything about it, and they're already filming it. Like, no, that's what's so weird to me, is that we've had all these lead actors announced that are all the heroes. We haven't had any villains announced.
Well, the villains are... It's
well, yeah, I know that...
Tony, like,
yeah,
it's...
but I just mean, like... I know that, but I just, you know what I mean, like the government, the officials, the S.H.I.E.L.D. people, like the people that they have the conflict against. Like, okay, I'm doing this with my hands, you can't see me, but like there's Steve on one side and Tony on the other side, and the reason they are conflicted is because of this third thing.
I get what you're saying. They're conflicted because of like a registration act.
Mm-hmm. And it just feels like there's no one to represent that.
Right. Well, that's. I'm wondering if maybe they're taking this out because they really want the focus to be on the two of them, like, going against each other. I mean, the thing
I
is,
I guess that would be really nice. Actually, I would kind of like that.
Well, I would not like it because it's a Captain America movie, and I'm going to ignore the fact that it's a Captain America movie. The Avengers Civil War, when that movie comes out.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole Civil War event in the comics is designed so that there isn't a good guy and a bad guy. It's up to the audience. It's up to the reader to decide whose side they're on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's what they're going for in the film, like by removing the government kind of honchos or whatever. It's really just head to head, and then you have to decide versus being like, oh, but it's all Nick Fury's fault.
But then I really, that's what I mean. Like, that's, I really like that, because I just, knowing nothing as I do about this story, like, I assumed that we'd have, like, Tony on one side and Steve on the other side, and then there would be this clear enemy that they would, like, be circling, if that makes sense. But if you take that out, so...
No, I was never thinking that they were going to have that in it, but it is still surprising that there doesn't seem to be any emphasis or like any representation of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they are involved in the Civil War storyline for sure. So I guess it'll all happen off screen. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, it's with all the characters that are in it, that's what I mean. Like, it's kind of nice
even
to
notice.
See. Yeah. But it's kind of nice to see if they are actually going to focus on the main characters as opposed to trying to set up this new, like, you know, in Ultron, they spend a lot of time with characters we'd never met before.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice, like, if they are actually saying we're just going to cut the extra and just focus on the main events. But anyway, we don't know that. And it's sad that Samuel Jackson is not in it, I guess.
He seemed sad anyway.
Yeah, he did. He's, like, the only one not invited. Him and Thor. but, yeah, so we'll keep you, everyone, updated as we learn more about Civil War. As we said, they're filming down in Atlanta right now. So we're getting small updates all the time, and soon we'll have something interesting to share, we're sure. So moving on now to an interesting story, this one Jurassic World related. It's nice that we have a Jurassic World story this week because, of course, it comes out in only a couple of days. A few months ago, before Joss Whedon left Twitter, he threw a little shade at Jurassic World. This was before Ultron had come out, funnily enough, and he said that there was this clip released from Jurassic World showing Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt's characters be very stereotypical and very cliche man power rah, and woman cold scientist.
Irony.
But anyway, Joss Whedon made a response to the website The Mary Sue and said, this is very sexist, this is like 70s era sexist, and that's a problem. And he has received a lot of criticism for sort of throwing, like, basically being mean to a fellow professional on social media. But nonetheless, his point, in my opinion, still stood, and I have been very worried about how exactly Bryce Dallas Howard's character will be presented in this movie. And interestingly, while promoting the film, Colin Trevorrow, who is the director, first he sort of sets our sort of expectations, like he makes us less worried, basically, because he said, you know, Joss Whedon, I wasn't bothered by what he said because I don't totally disagree with him. Out of context, he was a bit confused by why Universal would choose to release that clip out of context, because it showed an isolated situation within a movie that has an internal logic. And he also calls Bryce Dallas Howard's character the real protagonist of the movie. So we'll start with characters that are these archetypes, and we'll, as the story progresses, they will be deconstructed. So that all sounds great. We don't really know if that's what's actually going to happen in the movie, but then the final comment he made, and I just want to point this out too, is that he says, there's no need for a female character that does things like a male character. That's not what makes interesting female characters, in my view. I take issue with this comment, but we don't have to get into that now. I don't think you have to say that there's a way for a female character to do something and a way for a male character to do something. I think that's a ridiculous division. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that's so dumb. But other than that, I like what he had to say, I guess.
Yeah, except, like, there is a hyperbole writer who has seen Jurassic World.
Are we allowed
and,
to say that?
There is a hyperbole writer who's seen it, and that person has said that it is not,
I guess, he said, yeah.
So we'll see when the film comes out. But from what I have been hearing about it, I guess I'm erring more on the Joss Whedon side of, you know, it seems like maybe it wasn't so out of context, in fact.
Yeah.
But we will find out. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be an entertaining film. And it's interesting that he addressed it. I actually have no problem with Joss Whedon, like, calling out someone. I don't think that if you're a creative person, like, you have a responsibility to like everything. You know,
I agree.
Just cause,
I'm glad you said that.
Just
because
it's Joss Whedon, I don't think he has to be, like, positive about everything. I mean, I had an issue with the fact that he seemed to be calling out the Mary Sue.
yeah.
Which was, like, I had a great issue with that. Like, if he just made a tweet about, oh, he didn't really like the clip, then it would have been no problem. And I kind of don't really get that people are criticizing him or did criticize him for, you know, sharing his opinion on something. I don't
totally
see how that's an
agree.
Issue.
And of course, people are quick to say, oh, well, look what he did with Age of Ultron. He's want to talk. And that's a separate thing. But
yeah,
I think it's totally legit for creators to hold their fellow creatives responsible for the choices they make in their movies. And I don't think we'll get anywhere fast unless, like, Hollywood's kind of comes out and admits that these movies are not infallible and that we should, they're not like holy works, like we should be allowed to critique them just as we should be allowed to critique anything.
Yeah, so. And just because he's a creative person doesn't mean he can't be a fan of things. If mm-hmm. he's a Jurassic Park fan and he's excited for Jurassic World, like, I would expect him to have an opinion on it.
Right.
So I don't really get that whole thing. But we'll see when the film comes out.
We will see. And it's only 2 days away. In America, it comes out on Friday, so exciting times.
All right, so this is the moment that I've been waiting for all show because, you know, I always get excited when we have music news to share. So this week, Apple kind of revealed their big response to the music streaming industry, which has long since been a very popular way for everybody to kind of listen to music. So they unveiled Apple Music at this year's Worldwide Developers Conference on Monday, and I'm just going to put it out there. Like, it looks pretty cool. I don't know if you guys have read our report, but if you guys want all the big details, you can go over to hypeable.com and read this in full. But for now, we're just going to go through and let you guys know just kind of like what you need to know about this. So pretty much Apple Music is going to be added to existing music apps on iOS, but you'll be able to integrate it with your phone or tablet. Siri is also going to be involved, which is really cool because you can search songs just on voice command if you have an iPhone, or you can even do something like, say, play the song from Selma if you can't remember that it was called Glory, and your phone will be able to pull that up and you'll be able to enjoy that song. This is the part that gets me excited because I am such a big radio geek, but on top of this streaming service, they'll also be launching a worldwide live 24-hour radio station called Beats One, hosted out of London, Beats. New York, and Los Angeles. Exactly. And finally, they're going to have a connection feature with bigger artists where performers can share things like studio sessions, photos, videos, new songs, and other bonus material. So maybe if somebody's in the studio, they'll be able to update the new Apple Music and let you know exactly what's going on with the album that you're highly anticipating.
Like,
so it
the
looks
iTunes
really cool,
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, unfortunately, just like Tidal, there is no free tier, but once it launches on June 30th, you will be able to sign up for a 3-month trial. And the other nice thing is that you can actually sign up for a family plan, which works very similarly to like how Netflix lets you have different profiles. So you'll be able to add up to 6 people on your family plan, which will be you'll just have to pay a $14.99 a month. So it's not too bad in the grand scheme of things if, say, you and like the rest of your family want to go in on a monthly subscription, or maybe like your parents are feeling generous and want to let all you kiddies play around with this. It's definitely a little bit more affordable than something like, say, Tidal. The only thing I would probably maybe be waiting for is like a student discount feature, which Tidal just announced, and of course Spotify has had for a while, because I think that'll make this a little bit more enticing to younger people. Because if you don't do the family plan, then you're stuck paying $9.99 a month for the streaming service.
And that is a lot.
It is a lot of money. So, and that's one thing that Spotify has going for it, I think, is that it does offer a student discount. I think it's like $5 a month or something like that, if you wanted to do it that way. So But who knows?
And
maybe
you can use it for free.
That's true. You can also use it for free. Yeah. But I will say that, like, I finally, I will say that I finally, like, broke down and I cashed in my free Spotify premium trial. And it is really nice because I usually stream everything on my phone, and I use Spotify a lot when I go to the gym. So it is really nice to be able to skip tracks that, like, maybe don't fit your workout and stuff like that. So I would probably have to look at, like, my budget. But, yeah, definitely, like, if I could afford to pay for it monthly, I might keep it for a little bit longer. So it is really nice to have the option if you have the money to spare. But that's pretty much what you guys need to know about that.
Thank you. I feel much, much like I actually learned something new.
Yay! That's an
interesting feeling.
Bringing you the news you wouldn't otherwise read or write yourself.
I like it. Exactly. I wrote so many of the news stories.
I know. Actually, every story, like, I was looking at all the stories before we started, and they're all like, by Selena Wilkin. By Selena Wilkin. Hypeable is Selena.
Oh, wow. That's meta.
Okay, so changing things up a bit, we'll go into TV now. And I think arguably one of the biggest things that happened in TV this week was Game of Thrones. We're going to try not to spoil things for those who haven't seen Sunday's episode yet, and it's only Tuesday, so probably a lot of you might not have seen it already. But something had happened in the episode, something really, really gruesome and really just, like, terrible, as always with Game of Thrones. That in itself is not a spoiler. But the surprising thing was that while the event in the TV show did not happen in the books, George R.R. Martin was the one to tell the producers to tell the showrunners to do this deed, to have this happen. And so it's one of the first things that the show has actually spoiled, or possibly spoiled, for the book series, which still has two books coming out. And so that's really interesting, because we've known for a little while that Game of Thrones might be running into the books and might be spoiling some things. But this is the first time where George R. R. Martin specifically had said, like, I want you to do this to this character. And I thought that was interesting, just because it goes to show, like, how many times is he going to do this for next season? You know, they're already catching up real quick. So, and, like, I don't have that much to say because I haven't read all of the books, but it's just really surprising to me that a book series adaptation is finally getting spoiled by the TV show. It's so weird.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, in the context of the book, I would not say that what happened is that... This is going to make me sound like a horrible person. I don't think in the context of the book it's that significant. I think there's a big... And this is something that I think leads into a bigger discussion that we don't necessarily have time for, but I think there's a big difference between writing something in a book and showing it on a screen. And I think the weight that they gave this development in the a TV show?
TV show?
That's right. in the song, in the movie, what? It worked much more, it was a much more extreme scene to put in a TV show that it will probably feel like in the book. Obviously, it depends on how he writes it, but a lot of the time when Martin writes these horrific, violent, painful acts, it's actually seen from someone else's point of view. Not always, but often. And so you are spared a lot with the narrative that George R. R. Martin provides that I don't think the TV show spared you.
Because you didn't see it,
seen
like,
it
coming.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, everyone's seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think everybody watches
keeping
the
up
show.
With. No, I haven't. I haven't been watching this season, and I am not regretting that choice. But I have seen this scene because we had some articles about it, so I felt like I should know what we were talking about.
Right. Yeah.
I actually have to confess that I ran home to watch this episode from work because I heard that something big happened and I didn't want to get spoiled. Same. And the problem is that for some reason HBO did not re-air it at midnight like they usually do. So the only version they had was the version that was dubbed in Spanish. And thankfully, I'm bilingual, so I watched it in Spanish, but I think it maybe took away a little bit from the heaviness that everybody else felt in the scene. Like, not to sound heartless, but I just... I think that, watching it in a language and, like, not hearing, like, the characters' voices like we're used to kind of, like, pulled me out of the whole experience, which may have been for the best, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
You may have dodged a bullet with that one.
Yeah, because I heard that it was just, like, for some people, it was just terrible. But for me personally, when I was watching it this week, it
I think Selena and I don't think we had the same reaction as a couple of the other, like, hypeable writers. I don't know if Selena had the same reaction as I did, but I wasn't. I was at Disney while this aired, and so Facebook and Twitter, you know, blew up, and so I was like, oh, okay, I have to see what's happening. And then I got home, and I was expecting to be, like, completely shocked, and I was shocked, but not in the way that I was anticipating, if that makes any sense, you know? And it made me feel terrible, because you have, like, Michal over here who's, like, just... so heartbroken and gutted at what they did, and just her reaction is so visceral and so, like, intense. And then there's me, and I'm like, okay,
well, like, you know what, I think that actually, to be honest with you, if we're speaking, like, honestly, like, that kind of same thing happened with the last time everybody in the fandom was distraught, is that all I saw were very vague tweets, and then I was expecting, like, not to condone or to make anything less than what it was, but I think I was like, I had imagined something way, way worse in my brain. And so then when I finally watched
it, is that what you mean?
For Sansa and for this, actually. Yeah. For both situations. Yeah. So then when I finally got there, I was like, is this the scene everyone was talking about? Because I was just
exactly
in my brain, I had made it, like, completely and utterly like you need to turn the TV off bad.
Yeah.
You know what? Does that make sense? And yeah, maybe absolutely. It was that for some people, but I think that, like, the over-sensationalization of everybody, like, having such a strong visceral reaction was making me expect much worse. So I'm glad that, like, somebody else felt the same way, because...
Well, you know what I think? And I don't want to, like... But I think that there is a misconception about the people that did not like this. Because I don't, and I can't speak for everybody, but I know that for me personally, I thought that this, what they did, I think this season of the show, I think has gone, I'm just going to say it, I think that they are really grasping to hold people's attention, and I do not like the way that they're going about trying to hold our attention. But when the scenes that people, like Sansa, this scene, and the scene that happened this episode, it's not like I'm watching it, like, crying or being having any kind of, like, deep emotional response. To be honest, that's what scares me the most, is that I watch this and I go, really, guys? This is what you're doing to get me to tune in? Like, this is what you're resorting to? And I know, I mean, I guess there were people that feel really sort of, oh my God, Red Wedding shock, but... I just, and I know that, like, Merrimah will probably agree with this, but I just don't feel that strongly about the stuff I watch. Like, it's not like I feel, because I think I'm just, I mean, I think all of us are just really desensitized to these things. I don't think we feel really, like, the intense emotions. Oh no, how horrible for this character. Rawr. Like, that's not what I feel at all. I'm totally taken out of the moment. I'm just thinking... How are they doing this? How are they putting this on the screen and calling it, like, art? You know, as I said in my article, but how are they putting this on the screen and expecting us to just sit back and take it? And then the thing is that people go, oh, well, you know, if you've been watching Game of Thrones this far, then this shouldn't shock you and you're not allowed to complain because you have watched it. Like, much worse things have happened on the show and in the books. Yeah, but... maybe there comes a point when I'm sick of watching much worse things happen all the time. Maybe I'm not just watching it because I want to see worse and worse things happen.
I actually have a question, just, like, out of curiosity, and maybe you can shed some light on this, but For something like, say, what happened in this episode, this last week's episode, where it was a spoiler and George R. R. Martin had not yet written it, do you think it would have gotten less of a reaction from people if it had already been written in the books and people had already read it? Or do you think it would have blown over the same way?
I think so, because, I mean, the thing about Sansa was that it didn't happen to Sansa in the book, and people were like, you're not only...
But I'm talking not necessarily about Sansa, but also about, like, this situation, like, if it had already...
That's what I mean, like...
Because I haven't read the book, so I'm curious.
I think the thing that got people about Sansa... Sorry, just what got people about Sansa was that they have all this violence from the books, and then they add more, like, violence towards women, and they use this rape plotline over and over again. And so... But I think for this... Like, they have killed kids on screen before, and if it happened in the books, I think people would have a lot more justification for it. But at the same time, there's ways of doing it, and there's ways of playing off the trauma that they did for this that they haven't done before for a kid that I think is not okay. But that's just me.
Yeah, and I would also add to that that there is a difference between doing something, writing something in a 700-page book and showing something in a 60-minute episode of TV. And the difference is that you are not going to get anywhere near the degree of nuance on TV. And that's fine. That's part of the medium, you know? Things are condensed down. Things are streamlined. Totally understand that. But if this was written in the books previously, at least people watching the show who had read the books would be able to kind of apply that own... that extra information that they had already gained, you know, from the book, they would be able to say, oh, well, like all of these other things. And, you know, versus in the show, I would definitely agree with Selena. And it's part of the reason that I haven't really been inclined to tune in this season is that it just seems to be scene after scene after scene of shock value, value, like violence, especially against women, gratuitous like nudity, which we already had, but just like it's all to the extreme. And I think people would watch anyway. Like that's the thing. They don't need to be grasping for an audience. And you know, I saw this scene. I wasn't similar to Selena. I wasn't like crying or anything. I definitely thought it was incredibly
harsh.
Yeah, harsh is a great word. I mean, it's you want to say graphic, but like it wasn't because you didn't really see it. But like the way they went about it, I think if they had to include it, they did it very poorly.
I agree.
And I think that people are completely justified in, you know what, if you watched it and it didn't really faze you, okay, fine, like whatever. If you watched it though and you felt, wow, why did they do that? I don't understand the other people who then say you're not allowed to criticize it, or you kind of an opinion, or we've seen a lot worse things. This is the argument I keep seeing, not just that we've seen a lot worse things, but that, you know, and this was the argument that the showrunners were making, that we've seen worse things happen to characters without names, you know, to extras. So why does it matter so much? That's your problem. Like, that's a problem of society. Why do we care more about people with names? It's like, well, obviously we care more about the characters that we're invested in. Like, what a ridiculous statement to make.
So stupid.
Like, that's just actually just such a stupid thing to say. And it's a poor justification for a creative choice that they consciously made. And if they did it, then they should stand by it. And if they think that they made a mistake, then maybe they should say that too. But it's a shame to see fans attacking other fans for having a reaction to what is a large change or a large plot point. And, you know, we always see like the episode 9, everyone's like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, people saw this and thought, I wish that that hadn't happened, that's a totally justified response. And everyone else can, like, just calm down a little bit with the whole, like, you're a bad fan, or as I know people were saying to you, Selena, just stop watching it. You know, just why are you watching it then? If you don't like it, just stop watching it, which, again, is, a poor line of argument at the very least.
I think it's such an important point that you're saying that, you know, I've also said this on Hyperbole, that there's a difference between what happens in the books and the show. There is a difference. I don't care. Like I know stuff happens in the book, but you know what also happens in the books? Like hundreds and hundreds of pages of walking through Westeros, of thinking about life, of different viewpoints that show different sides of the same. Like all the violence and all the death and all the destruction in Westeros is part of a much richer narrative. And I'm not saying George R. R. Martin is necessarily a perfect, right? Like I'm not holding him to any sort of, but I'm saying that when you take all of that away and you're left with the shock moments, and this is actually a point I made, this got quoted on Hypebeast's Facebook page, and people kind of took it out of context, saying there's not enough plot to back up all this shock value. Like, there, because in the books, the plot is much more spread out and it's much more nuanced. And a big part of why the books work so good is because they take a lot of time to show that not very much happens. Like, things happen, but they don't have that sort of like significance, like say in a fantasy book where it's like, oh, you know, you find a hidden item and then you use it to go to the dungeon. And this is not a real book. But, you know, like everything has significance. A big part of why A Song of Ice and Fire is so fantastic is because it's real. Some things don't have significance. Some things just happen. And when you take all that away and try to make it into an epic TV show, I think it's great if you like it, but it's also great if you like us. Like, think, you know what? I kind of feel like I've just been watching something that feels a little bit violating, and I'm not really sure why I'm watching it. Like, I don't know why I had to watch this horrible thing, why these horrible things have to keep happening, if that's all that happens. But that said, that's our opinion, and we're entitled to it, and that should be the end of it.
I do really appreciate that, Marima, you pointed out that you're right. Like, regardless of how you feel, like, everybody should be able to have an opinion whether or not they not enjoyed it necessarily, but, like, cared for it or thought it was in poor taste. And the great thing about fandom is that it's a bunch of people coming together and discussing things, and we should all just be respectful when we argue.
Everyone is allowed
our
to have their
and
own
stuff
opinion.
Like that. Exactly. None of this like get out or go home, because we don't stand for that. Bottom line, because we don't always disagree, but we're not like
it's more like stay in and
it.
Discuss.
Exactly. Stay in and discuss. Oh. Let's have some hot cocoa. Yeah.
But yeah, does anyone else have anything else to say about Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay, then. I think we got it.
I loved hashing
it. I feel like that was our collective TV show of the week.
It was.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to say quickly something about your shows, Pam and Kyle, then go ahead. Otherwise, we should move on.
I'm just enjoying Gilmore Girls right now.
I'm really happy you're enjoying it, because that's one of my all-time favorite shows ever.
I'm on the second season. I just watched like the third.
It's the best. Well, if Kyle's done with Gilmore Girls, I've been enjoying Girl Meets World on the Disney Channel, which is really hitting its stride. Specifically, I watched an episode called Girl Meets Pluto, and you guys, I died, because as a huge Boy Meets World fan, like, this episode was amazing, and it just, like, they incorporated lines from, like, season, like, 3 or 4 of Boy Meets World, and it was just so cool to see, like, the labor of love that this episode was.
Okay, it's time for Hot on Hypebeast. Let's keep with the Gilmore Girls theme, because we had some staff members down at the ATX TV Festival the last week, and this is a big festival in Austin, right? I'm pretty sure it's in Austin. And their whole big thing that was happening down there was the Gilmore Girls reunion, and like everyone was at it, and it was very exciting. We had Christina and Brittany were down there to cover it, and they are huge Gilmore Girls fans, so it was exciting for them. There's a really good recap up on the site, and also EW filmed it, and since we wrote the recap, there's also the video, so you can head over to Hypebeast and watch the panel, which is really fun, because sometimes, you know, these reunions happen and it's kind of sad because only the people who were there get to see it. And then we also spoke to all of the stars of Gilmore Girls on the red carpet, which is very exciting. So we have great interviews with obviously the Gilmore Girls themselves, but then like so many people were there. I can't even deal with how many people were there. And I was very excited because Milo was there, and I'm very much on Team Jess. And there's a nice photo of all of Rory's boys all together. So you can check that out on Hypebeast as well. And you can see who they chose, because all of the different boys gave their preference for, you know, who they thought best suited Rory. And then also, because it wasn't just all Gilmore Girls, because we are now covering Hannibal over on Hypeable Hannibal, Brittany also covered a panel that Hannibal showrunner Brian Fuller was on, and he was talking about like the process of adaptation and the future of the series. So that's a really nice recap as well, and you can check all of those out on the site. And then to finish up Hot on Hypeable this week, I wanted to give a shout out to some really good articles by this really clever and informed and like, oh no, I didn't write. Selena wrote these articles. And I just love these two articles because I think they deal with similar themes. One is Selena's recap of Unreal, which we talked about last time on Hype. And I think maybe that clip may have been included in the show where I was like, you should recap it. Well, she totally recapped it.
I did.
And it's not really a traditional recap, which is interesting. It's looking at, I guess, the value of a show like Unreal and, you know, why it's kind of worth watching, even though initially you might be like, these people are terrible and this is awful. And, you know, it's quite meta and you get into a lot of that. So even if, you know, reality TV might not be your thing and you might think that watching a scripted show about reality TV is definitely not your thing, but you should read the recap because she'll convert you. Trust me on that. And I'm definitely going to check it out, although I was going to anyway, but I'm even more going to check it out now.
Even more. Plus one.
And then the other article that Selena wrote just a couple days ago was about some of the things that we have just been talking about with Game of Thrones. The article is on Hollywood and violence, and it's looking at, I guess, the idea that, you know, fiction needs to be real, or, you know, our criticism of it, and the idea of, like, violence being art and therefore above critique. And it's fantastic, and I am now adopting my life motto to convince Selena to write feature articles every day because they are the best. So I want to give a shout out to both of these because they are fantastic.
Thank you. That Hollywood and Violence article is I was trying something new with the style, so I'm glad it worked out. Got a lot of interesting comments, but you know what? I don't read the comments anymore. I'm taking a leaf out of Andrew's book, so I am blissfully unaware.
Welcome to the bright side. No comments are right here, except on our podcast post.
Of course, but they are good. Hopefully they're keep being good. Our first comment is just really quickly from Bubbert, this was the most feedback we've ever had on a single topic. Please tell me that the sloppy joes were the food item Selena referred to from It Takes Two. Yes, it was. And I have received some wonderful recipes on Twitter that I'm going to be trying out. So many people wanted to let us know that it's It Takes Two, the movie with Mary-Kate and Ashley.
I really don't.
No, because I thought, like, I listened to it too and I was like, how can Pam not have watched this?
I just got really confused because I think that, like, camp and food, like the food item, it just didn't click in my brain, you know what I mean? If you would have been like, oh, one's kind of like street ratty and the other one's like highbrow, mm-hmm. I probably would have gotten it, but it was just like, I don't know, it's
all about the food.
Clearly I was not thinking with the right brain,
right? And so now that I know that sloppy joes are a real thing, I will be making them, and everyone else should just watch the movie because it's a good movie. Kyle, do you want to go to the next comment?
Yes, absolutely. The next comment says, it's from Allison L., and says, Midnight Sun was the first thing I thought of when hearing about the new 50 Shades. I haven't thought about it in forever, and I read it when it was first released online, and I thought it was great. For me, the best part of the Twilight series was the Cullens. So having Edward's perspective, we get so much more of the Cullens, and with Edward's mind reading, his responses to people's thoughts were hilarious. I'm still salty that she hasn't released the whole thing.
Salty. Yes. Thanks for that. Pam, do you want to get Tucker's comment?
Of course. Tucker Conley says, Ernest Cline's next book, Armanda, is coming out in July. It looks to have some of the same themes as Ready Player One. Thanks for letting us know. I actually had no idea, but I think that we'll all be checking it out if that's the case.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Awesome.
Yeah. Shelley, this was over on Twitter. Shelley tweeted us about our discussion about Fantastic Beasts. And she said, just listen to Hype's discussion and I agree, very whitewashed. So I'm a bit disappointed. Sad face. Yes, and yeah. I agree with your sad face, that Shelley.
Very sad face. And Pam and Kyle, do you want to just get that final too?
Sure.
Kyle, go ahead.
Okay. Jess Bagtas says, Rutgers alum here. Wish I could have taken the John Green course. It's a 7-week seminar open only to first years, I found out. Aw, that's sad. I wish it was open to everyone. I'm sorry.
Wait, way to discriminate, Rutgers. I'm not pleased. Okay, our last comment also comes from Twitter. It's from Rebecca Caruthers. Sorry if I mispronounced your name.
Bex Spelliarmus. That's awesome.
That's cute. I like that. double thumbs up for your Twitter handle. She says, been catching up on At Hypeable Hype. I'm so glad it's back. They've got so much love for Captain America. I'm giving the film a second chance. And
yay!
Yay, exactly.
Do some of us do.
Marima and I are pleased.
Hey, I will be the Captain America fan even if no one else will be. I can outnumber everyone, at least in volume.
You know what? I'm right there with you. We can both be fans.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thank you so much for those comments. I see we have another. You know what? That Australian iTunes, guys.
Man, they like me over there.
Can you guys not see the ones for your country, like that are not for your country? Because we have some really nice ones. We have some nice ones in the U.S. store that I'll pull up.
You guys should bring them up next week, maybe.
We will do that. Let's get the one from Australia out of the way. We love our Australian listeners, of course.
Out of the way.
Okay, someone has a... But basically, it's just
I thought Marima was going to take it as the resident Australian.
Well, Selena doesn't like us. Selena doesn't like us reading them because she thinks it makes us seem full of ourselves.
No, but we had a very nice this one.
We had a 5-star review from Claire Ben.
It's just that the last one was all about me, and I was like, I'm not going to read that.
Oh, I see. No, Selena, that's when you make someone else read it, and you go, oh, you shouldn't have. Claire said, love all the podcasts from this team, and... gave us a 5-star rating, so thank you very much for that. And if you are enjoying Hype, you could also give us a review in your iTunes store and let us know if it's one that, you know, we may not have access to so that we can find it.
And of course, I mean, the podcast from this team, I mean, as you probably know, if you're a Hypeable fan, we do have a lot of podcasts on the site. We have a Hero Hype with Marima, and we have a Rewatchable that's going through The Legend of Korra right now. And... my mind just
Book
went totally blank. That's
with
it.
Me too.
Book Hype with Marima as well.
I can't stop podcasting.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's like I remember when I used to be on like 7 podcasts, and that was a different time. Now basically just
those years ago. Yeah. Well, now I'm older. I don't know if I can keep up with it. You know, my arthritis kicked in.
Yeah, that is what happened to me. So
yeah.
That's the first thing that starts going, Marima, is your ability to podcast more than once a week.
Well, keep an eye on that. Once that goes down, I'll know it's time.
but anyway, everyone else, you guys should go to Hypeable and check out. Up in the left-hand corner, there's a tiny little plus. And if you click that tiny little plus, it'll open up a magical world of content, including the podcast. So do go check that out. And that is basically the end of this slightly longer than usual show. We hope you enjoyed it. As Jurassic World comes out in only a couple of days, we will definitely be discussing that on the next episode of Hype. You can go to hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com, for all your latest news and feature articles. Get involved with the conversation in a nice and polite way. Am I right, guys?
And let's respectfully discuss things we disagree about.
As Ellen DeGeneres says, be kind to one another. I think we should all
be
live
kind.
Come in and discuss.
Yes, very, very good. And follow us on Twitter at HypeableHype. Find us on Instagram at instagram.com/HypeableHype. And leave us a iTunes review. Now that I know that people have actually been doing it outside of Australia, I'm excited to hear about it next week.
Hey, now. The Australian ones were excellent.
I was so happy. I was like, we have the best fans in Australia. I was all ready to host
the
parade.
It's me. So I just leave all the reviews.
Just you.
It's probably like my dad or something.
Probably on that continent, right?
That's yeah, it. Chadwick. Just you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
me and Hugh Jackman, actually.
Oh, I hope he relieves.
And the Hemsworths. That would Hemsworth. Be a great continent. That's a real
sorry. Sign me up.
All right, this needs to end.
All right, this does need to stop. So until next time, have a good week. My name is Selena.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Pamela.
And I'm Irma.
Goodbye, everyone. Okay, let's do this. Episode 52.
Was that the intro?
No. That would have been... We're doing it differently this week, guys. This is the 52, whatever, fandom stuff. I don't care. I
sounds guess like I'm Selena, whatever.